you're going to use that opportunity to go and indoctrinate these kids with your street ghetto philosophy. Certain point. If you raise your level of income to the status of a rock star, then then you got to keep coming up with ways to maintain that status. I'm not even saying eat meat, but at least put some cereal in the milk. Come on. That's like taking 666, the mark of the beast, and redefining it like Biggie tried to do and saying, no, it means this or that. No, 666 is 666. You can call it holy 666, but it's still the mark of the beast. Convenient, whether it's welcome or unwelcome. You, as preachers of the word, are to show people in what way their lives are wrong.
We welcome you now to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis.
Blessings to all. This is G. Craig Lewis here again with another True Church Perspective. Let's read Revelations 2 and 1, and we're going to dig into this and finish this particular church out this week. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not feign it. And this is the scripture we're going to deal with. 2 and 3. You have borne, has patience, and for my name's sake hath labored and has not fainted. This is a church that was working. You know, let me give you an example of something. I received an email. We received one through our website, and it was a forward for a petition. There was a forward for a petition pertaining to rule or law to take preachers off of television. And it was saying that they were going to take certain preachers off television if people didn't get a certain amount of signatures to keep them on. And well, this list was going around, the list came to me. If you research the Church of Ephesus, you'll see that Ephesus' strength was the fact that the people labored for the namesake of Christ. Now, let me explain where I'm going with this. Television stops people from laboring. Television, and I'm not saying everyone on TV doesn't need to be on TV. I'm not saying that TV hasn't helped at all. I'm not saying anything like that, but I'm saying from a general standpoint, I believe television has hurt the body of Christ more than help it, because it has made celebrities out of men. Now men can stand up, people can sit down, and they can watch these men as these men do the work of evangelism for them. In other words, if they're on TV and they get this whole celebrity status thing, the people get lazy. People believe, oh, he's on TV, I'm just going to support him so he can get the gospel out. Well, no, God never intended for the shepherd to be the one to get the gospel out. It's the sheep that should carry the gospel. The shepherd is supposed to train the sheep, prepare the sheep, and then the sheep go out into the world and spread the gospel. You remember when the gospel was spread even in Jerusalem? God got tired of them being comfortable in one place, and the gospel wasn't going anywhere. They were comfortable in that church that was growing by leaps and bounds, and they were all just hanging out and being together. And God was like, no, I need this gospel to get out. So what happened? They began to be persecuted, and they scattered. And as they scattered, they took the word of God out. They went through the persecution, and they built up testimonies, and they took the word of God out, and the word spread throughout the world. This is where we are right now. Now we have preachers that just sit back on TV, and the people say, oh, that's my evangelism, because I give to his ministry so he can get the word out. But that is not what God intended. God intended for pastors and preachers to train up people, or to mentor people, or to give them the word and teach them, feed them, so that they can take that word and give it to others. Don't you know there are Christians that's been working on the same job for 20 years and never even mentioned Christ to anyone else? They've been living next door or on the street with some people, and nobody even knows they're Christians. This is not how God intended intended it to be. So television, to me, has created celebrities. Now you got music videos. Come on now. Somebody please explain why gospel artists are flossing, making themselves up, looking sexy, and singing about Jesus in a video. You know, everything from the world can't be copied. Mary got this new video where they have the secular artist P. Diddy and all of these folks that are destroying our very children in their video, flossing, talking about it's the God in me. And that is a 5% message anyway, because the guys that are flossing are believing that they are gods. So where are we going with this? But that is the danger of video and television. And I'm not saying that some people aren't using it for good, but I'm saying generally the body of Christ is hurting because of the celebrity status of our bishops and preachers. And that is the problem we have, y'all. So if it's making celebrities out of people, then it's being misused and mishandled. So it's nothing we need to fight for. If the sheep went out to reach the world and did their job, there wouldn't be anyone trying to take preachers off TV. That problem would be solved because the people would be spreading the gospel and TV wouldn't even matter. What did they do before TV? So this is what I'm saying. The church at Ephesus, the Bible is telling us that they were laborers. These folks labored in the vineyard and they did not mix the world with the churches we've been talking about, because later on it says you don't like the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which is that whole live any way you want and let's make the gospel easier to digest. And none of that stuff was in Ephesus. Ephesus was strong, and the Bible is telling us that they were laborers, but they lost their first love. And that is where we are right now. That's where the church is right now. The first love has been lost, and we're no longer focused on the things of God. We're focused on men, celebrity status. We're focused on men and how they feel about certain things and what we want. The Bible says this would happen. And the main problem here is that, just like I was talking about the Mary video and the gospel artist videos, the church has just weakened themselves by merging into the world. I remember maybe 10 years ago, I began to preach about conferences, all these conferences. But during this conference period, there was something that was happening behind the scenes. And that was, whenever they would book these preachers for this conference, they would always bring in an entertainer. They would bring in a singer or a performer. So you couldn't have the conference without having performances by national recording artists. There was always alongside, sitting next to the preacher, was the musician who had equal influence. Just like Lucifer, the Bible said Lucifer, when he was seeking to exalt himself, he said he wanted to sit at the side of the north, meaning I wanted to sit next to the highest point and be equal to the highest point. In other words, he wanted his music or his talent to be equal to God and put him next to God. And this is where we get that from. And that's why in these conferences, you always had that performer that was equal. And what ended up happening was they became celebrities as well as the preachers. What did that do? Well, that put the influence equivalent to the preacher up on the singer or the performer. So now people begin to look at the singer and the performer as a God-ordained minister, even though a lot of times they are just singers and performers. That gave them the license to govern the people. And now when they make moves and they, like Mary merges with these secular artists and does all this, what does the churches do? They follow suit and do the same thing. Now there is an album coming out, a tribute to Frankie Beverly and Maze. And who's on that? The Clark Sisters, Kiki Sheard, Jay Moss. And so Earth, Wind & Fire, one of the most demonic groups in the history of music, had all of the idols of Egypt on all of their album covers. And I talk about it in my Truth Behind Hip Hop Part 3 video. Their lyrics were praise and worship songs to false gods of Egypt. Who's on their album? Kurt Franklin. And all of this merge came, and the devil strategically set these artists up equivalent to ministers, so that when they begin to do this stuff, ministers and musicians became equal, just like Lucifer wanted in heaven. He wanted his talent to put him equivalent to God or equal at the highest place with God. What does that do? Well, when the music turns, when the men begin to seek more money, more fame, a larger audience, a larger fan base, they begin to mix and merge and touch the unclean thing, become worldly. What does that do? Well, it takes the church along with them, because remember, they're equal with the leadership, the presbytery. They're equal. They're a part of the sixfold ministry. You know, they didn't put themselves in the fivefold. Now it's sixfold. And so we have this issue now because our musicians have sold out. I mean, Yolanda Adams says, hey, I'm not a gospel artist. I'm an inspirational entertainer. You know, and now they've totally sold out. You'll see them on stage with a demonic artist. You'll see them on stage performing with them. They don't care. But the mood of the church has changed. And now the world and the church is merged together. 2 Corinthians 6 tells us, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing and I will receive you. So that's saying that if you're touching the unclean thing, he's not going to receive you. Come on, y'all. You know how the Bible speaks to us. If he says, I'll receive you if you touch it not, then what happens when you touch it? But this is that doctrine of the Nicolaitans again, with that whole Rodney King spirit, where can't we all just get along? Why do you have to say something? You know, a friend of mine was telling me the other day that he was on a plane and he was talking to a recording artist, and he was mentioning me, and he said, yeah, do you know, G. Craig Lewis? And the guy said, yeah, I know him, you know. He said, what do you think of him? Well, you know, I liked him at first when he was just preaching the hip hop, but then he started attacking the personalities and he started calling out the names, and I just couldn't get with that. And who cares what you can get with? If I'm doing what's in the Bible, then why do you have a problem with it? Why do preachers have a problem, period? Because they want to all get along. Don't you understand? If we can all just get along and not hurt anybody, not say anything that's going to offend anybody, you know, like that song, which I consider just one of the gayest anthems of them all. I won't hurt you with words from my mouth. Well, if I'm preaching the truth and you live in a lie, I'm sorry, but the words of my mouth is going to hurt you. I hate songs like that. And churches begin to sing them. And the more you sing them, the more gays come in there. I mean, the more you sing them, the more homosexuals. You only had three. By the time the song is over, you got 15 in the audience. See, those kinds of songs don't even need to be sung in your church. You know, we let these musicians just rule and run the mood of our churches, just like Lucifer wanted to do in heaven. But I appreciate, just like Jesus did in the red writing, the church at Ephesus, for saying that you judge those that said that they were apostles, but you found out that they were liars. These are the people that are coming in just to sell you a record, coming in just to get on your platform. I love when the Bible speaks about that, because God is saying, hey, if you're touching the unclean thing, I'm sorry, but I cannot receive that. And so this whole idea of the Nicolaitans, this whole doctrine of the Nicolaitans is what Jesus had a problem with. And this is why he said, get back to your first love, Ephesus, so you can go back after these things that are not right. In other words, align yourself, church. Wake up, church, so you can fight the things that are not right, so you can be in position to stand against those things in this last and evil day. Let me tell you something now. Ephesians, or the church at Ephesus, the letter that he wrote to the church at Ephesus, 4:1 says this. This is very important. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, and daring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Very important scripture here. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. See, this is where folks come in with that Rodney King. Hey, we need to be unified. It's blessed for brothers to dwell together in unity. Yes, it's blessed, and it's going to be even more blessed when we dwell together in unity forevermore in heaven. But that's not meaning that we need to just go and try to unify with people. But people read this, you know, this is that, can't we all just get along? No, we can't. Two can't walk together if they're not in agreement. agreement. So Jesus is not an advocate. The Bible is not an advocate for trying to unify everybody and everybody be together. No, no, the Bible is just the opposite. That's why Jesus died, so he can pull his people out of the world and bring them unto himself. That is separation. And I hear folks say all the time, brother, I don't want to hear your message because you divide in the body. You divide in the body of Christ. Yes, that's what prophets do. They divide. They say who's on the Lord's side, and whoever is not is on that other side. That is division. That is a dividing of the people right there. That is what we're supposed to do. Coming out from among them, that means you were among them, but now you're coming out from among them, and be ye what? Separate. That means, like the old folks say, be ye separated. That means that you are not with them anymore. It's two groups now, and that is division. If you're going to divide anything, divide the number two. It's going to give you two ones, and that is what we're talking about here. So divisions have to come so that we can separate ourselves from the world and stop touching the unclean things. See, the church at Ephesus did this, and they were able to even judge those that tried to mix and merge and make everyone get along. So it's not about unity among the brethren. It's about unity of the spirit. Can I say that again? Unity of the spirit, meaning that we should all be unified by the spirit of God. What does that mean? That means if you have the spirit of a devil, you can't be unified with those that have the spirit of God. That means there's two groups and we are separate. But see, when we lose our fervor, when we lose our first love, we forget about these things. We forget about the separation. We forget about the unclean thing, and we get comfortable. And this is why I go back to the whole TV thing. And please understand me. I'm not saying anything is wrong with TV as a whole. I'm not saying anything is wrong with radio or ministers being on there. I'm on the radio now, so you know I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is we can't kick back and get comfortable while these men of God get on radio or television and do all the work for us. No, we have to be the ones to do the work. I like putting it like this. If there is a shepherd, and this shepherd, which represents a pastor, has sheep, the shepherd does not go up and grab grass and put it in his hands and put it under the sheep's mouth so the sheep can eat it. No, the shepherd just leads the sheep to food. He leads them to the word. He leads them to the nourishment. He leads them to the field or the pasture that is green that they can eat from, but they have to eat themselves. And the pastor doesn't teach them how to teach their young to eat. When their young is born, their young learn by example. When their young is born, the sheep are supposed to train their own young. The sheep are the ones that feed their own young. So the pastor or the shepherd feeds the sheep, and the sheep feeds the next generation. This is God's illustration of how the church should be. This is why our children are in so much trouble now, because the adults, they're not getting the word. They're not getting proper nourishment, so they have nothing to give to their children. They're dropping them off at the youth service, and some rapper, some crotch grabbing, gold teeth wearing, pants sagging loser is up before them trying to teach them the word of God. And I'm the rapper for the Christ. I'm the man. Come on, y'all. These folks don't need to hear that. These young folks are dealing with lust, perversion, all kinds of sexual sin and issues. They've been raped, molested. They've been using drugs. They've been on MySpace showing their body. These young folks are in trouble. They don't need somebody throwing up gang signs and wearing braids and beads talking about they a man of God from the streets, a thug for Jesus. They don't need that. But because the parents aren't getting proper nourishment, they have nothing to give the children, and the children are starving. This is why we must get back to our first love. Christ is saying, get back to your first love. Come on, y'all. Get back to laboring. Get back to having the patience for my name's sake. Get back. You hast not fainted. That means you didn't quit. So don't quit, people of God. No matter how bad it looks, don't give up on your son. Don't you give up on your daughter. Come on now. If you're going to a church where the pastor could care less about his home, his children and all that, then you need to pack up and leave, because you cannot give up on your children. That's your responsibility. So you have to be somewhere where you can get the word and be fed, so you can have something to feed your family. People of God, please hear me. I am on the radio right now because we are at Situation Critical, and people are always telling me, well, brother, you make it sound easy. No, I don't make it sound easy. I'm just speaking with faith. See, this is the thing that this prosperity stuff does away with. This is the thing that the celebrity status does away with. This is the thing that the homosexual preachers do away with. And it is faith. See, if you don't have faith to walk this walk, if you don't have faith to believe that Jesus can help you walk this walk, if you don't have faith to believe that there is a power greater than you that can save you from your sins and cause you to walk and live upright before God, if you can't exhibit that faith, you can't teach that faith. And if you can't teach that faith, the people can't be healed, they can't be delivered, they can't be set free. So they sit back and say, brother, I tried and I can't do it. Brother, it's hard. I can't make it. Brother, I can't stop. I can't quit. That is faithless talk. Now, I'm not saying you walk around, how you doing, brother? I'm blessed and I'm highly favored. Then why you don't have nowhere to live? How you blessed and highly favored? See, I'm not talking about that foolishness that these preachers have trained their little seals to say every time you say, how you, some folk you don't even want to walk up to and say hi. How you doing, brother? Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord. My name is written in the book of life, and one day Jesus is going to come. Brother, please come on down on earth right now, because you at the bus stop. But see, I'm not talking about that false sense of faith. I'm talking about real faith in Jesus Christ, to know that Jesus died for our sins to fix our problems and our situations. And if we apply faith to the situation, we can believe the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We can believe and things will begin to happen once you believe. This is a daily walk, y'all, where you know Jesus has got it. You know he's got your problems. You know he's got your situations. But with this prosperity gospel, our faith begins to center around our money in it and our bills being paid, when those things are our responsibility from the get-go. That's what a good job will bring you. That's what a college education will get you. That's what doing the right thing when you're supposed to on the job will get you. It'll get you money and get your bills paid. But because we've associated, please hear me, people, we've associated the blessings and the things of God and faith with finances and money, now we don't have the faith to live right. Now we don't have the faith to live right before God and do what is right. Because we've associated faith with getting things, now the spiritual things are lacking because the natural things are lacking. We've put them both together and they shouldn't be the same thing. The first natural and then spiritual. That means first you go get a job and you can pay your bills. But when it comes to Christ, that faith in Jesus will help you live this life and live right before him. Listen to what I'm saying, people of God. Separate the two. They're not the same thing. You don't put them together. But this message of prosperity and money has mixed this gospel up and made it a blasphemous thing to some people. And now when they can't pay their bills, they can't live right. Now they believe God didn't hear my prayers about this money, so he's not going to hear my prayers for my own children. God ain't hear my prayers, and I don't have money to pay this electric bill, so I don't have the faith to pray for my child that his soul be saved. Y'all, this is a devil's influence upon the church, and we need to remove it right now. We are losing our children. That's why I love when God said faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things you can't even see. So living a life pleasing unto God, even though you may not even see it right now, faith will bring it to pass. For by grace you are saved through what? Through faith. You know, when we were young, a lot of times we obeyed our parents and did what was right. But then when we got to the point where we wasn't going to do what was right, sometimes it was our father's voice, our mother's voice. It was the faith or the belief to know trouble was coming if we didn't do the right thing. A lot of times that took us off that course and put us on the right course. Well, it's the same thing with Jesus. It's the same thing with serving God. You have to have the faith to believe he is who he is before you can live right before him. He's not an ATM machine, people. He's not a bank. He is the true and living God. And we must use faith to know that he can save us from our sinful lifestyle and our sinful walk. But it has to be done through faith. This is why it's so important that shepherds feed the sheep. And I'm not talking about with music. I'm not talking about with entertainment. I'm not talking about somebody merging the world with the church. And no, I'm talking about some preachers that will stand up and preach the gospel when it hurts, when it doesn't hurt, that will stand up and give the truth to save this generation. Because once you give the truth and the people walk in it, our children will learn it and walk in it as well. People of God, hear me. As we close out this church at Ephesus, understand Jesus's problem with them is they left their first love. The world became attracted. The things, the issues of life became attractive. All these things began to stop them from seeking Jesus or loving Jesus. Jesus became like a fixture on the wall, like the Bible sitting on the table. It was just one of those things. But Jesus said, no, bring me back to the forefront of this thing. Bring your love back and I will save your people. He said it in the scriptures. God said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and then heal their land. People of God, get back to that first love. Don't mix the world. Don't touch the unclean thing, and he will receive you. Let us pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for this message, God. I believe that this message was from you. Father, I believe you said things in this message for us to hear in this last and evil day. And Father, I believe, Lord, that you are coming for a church without spot or wrinkle, and you want us to have the faith to walk this walk. Father, without faith, it is impossible for us to even please you, because we can't come to you and call you who you are without faith. We can't live a lifestyle that is pleasing unto you without faith. We cannot expect you to come and get us and rescue us from this wicked world without faith. So God, train us in faith right now. Faith is not just associated with money, but God, we need the faith to live this life. We need the faith to live right before you. We need the faith to save our children. We need faith, God, to believe that there is an answer. Even when the problem seems too great for us, there's an answer. Through faith, you can bring restitution. God, through faith, you can bring a solution. God, through faith, you can fix our homes, our marriages. Father God, you can fix us, Lord. You can fix our children that are hurting and that are chasing sin. God, you can fix our sons that are homosexual, daughters that are lesbian. God, you can fix these situations through faith. But we got to pray in faith and believe in faith. And we got to stop associating faith with money, God, and go get some jobs so we can have some money. But Father God, faith to believe that you, God, will intervene on our behalf, and you can save our soul and preserve us until the day you return. Father, I pray right now for every listener of this message, God. Direct them to the right place. Send them to the right church. Put them under the right man of God. Put them in the midst of the right congregation, Father God, so that they can learn that it takes faith to please you. In Jesus' name. We'll be back next week with another True Church Perspective.
You've been listening to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis. Visit us at truth-church.org or at exministries.com. If you desire to support this ministry with your donations, please send them to P.O. Box 24870, Fort Worth, Texas 76124, or donate online at truth-church.org.